The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in a territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And the great crowds followed him from Galilee to the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea and far beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today our gospel text is from the 4th chapter of Matthew. And Matthew works the scriptures a little differently than some of the other apostles or others who have written gospels. Imagine sitting around the dinner table or a campfire with some old friends from high school, and you just chat about the good old days. Stories come up. Dave, you remember the time that we went golfing and you forgot your clubs? Neil, we went fishing and fish bit my finger. That was funny. None of those things actually happened, but you fill in the stories, right? And of course, with some of your friends, they embellish the stories, but not so much with Matthew. Matthew tells stories about the good old days as he writes his Gospels, and they're true stories, but they aren't necessarily in chronological order. So sometimes we have to look to some of the other Gospels to help us put a context to some of Matthew's writings. You remember just recently we had Jesus coming to be baptized by John the Baptizer, and John proclaims him to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then John sees him again, and Andrew, the brother of Peter, is with him, and he says, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And of course Andrew runs back and he tells his brother Peter, "The Messiah's come. He's here in our midst." Well, today Jesus seems to be walking along, and Matthew doesn't really give us that whole context so much to look at. And it's helpful to remember these things because John helps us remember Matthew in this case. First, we see Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophets. Isaiah foretold that out of the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, that certain things would happen and certain things would come. And Jesus comes to this area of Capernaum. And in this land, Jesus establishes his first base camp, for lack of a better phrase. Isaiah waxed eloquent about this. He said of Jesus, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has shone on those living in the land of the shadow of death. The light has dawned." Epiphany is a season of light. We come to the realization of just who Jesus is and who he is for our dark and sinful lives. We have joy of forgiveness and mercy. He has this for all people, Jews and Gentile alike. For everyone who dwells on this earth, on this world, they have the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. While in this area of Capernaum, Jesus comes into contact with his first officially called disciples, and these are they who end up becoming apostles. That Greek word apostolos means one who is sent, as Jesus sends them out into a ministry of their own toward the end of his ministry. I used to think that it's odd the way that Matthew portrays Jesus walking along in Capernaum. Jesus comes into contact with these guys, and he has kind of this mesmerizing way, apparently, if you just read this text without the others. He says, "Come follow me." And they drop everything and they come follow him. What a random thing that seems to be. We read in our text, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. That's what fishermen do. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Is it just me, or is that a little strange? Is it a little odd that Jesus just comes along and he says, "Follow me," and they drop everything and they follow him? What does Zebedee say about his two sons leaving him to fix the nets himself? I recently read another sermon on this text, and the pastor goes an extra mile on this. What do the women in their lives think? What did Mama Zebedee have to say about all of this? "You left your father. What's wrong with you?" Peter, now for your Roman Catholic friends, this is good to keep in mind, for Peter is supposedly the first pope, has a mother-in-law. I don't know if you can be a mother-in-law or have a mother-in-law without being married. I think that's kind of interesting. So Peter is obviously married, but we don't hear what his wife has to say about this. Is he widowed? We don't know. But mother-in-laws usually have something to say about pretty much everything, don't they? "Can't believe my daughter married this man who would just abandon my daughter and follow this carpenter all over the place." John helps us with all of this a little bit. As Jesus says, "Come follow me," we see that record of Andrew and John the Baptizer and Andrew telling Peter all about it. So there's some context. It's not as random as we think. And so Jesus comes along while they're working and he says, "Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." He knows exactly where to hit fishermen, right? My brother is a maniac for fishing. I enjoy fishing. Austin is dedicated to fishing, aren't you, Austin? Fishing, people will get up at 4 a.m. to go fishing when you can't get them out of bed by 7 for church. These men are fishermen. And Jesus says the magic words, "I will make you fishers of men." And so, in a sense, Jesus calls them to enter Messiah Seminary for a 3-year intensive course of study. Never has anyone received a greater education than these men. Jesus says, "Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men." And they go on a quest, much like Frodo Baggins in Lord of the Rings. And the quest is the same, to save the world. Not to save the world from an evil empire of some sort, except the evil empire of the unholy trinity of the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh, but rather to save us from ourselves. The reward would be that they may be fishers of men, and instead of their nets, the gospel will catch all people. This net of the gospel stretches as far as the east is from the west, as far as the north is from the south. It stretches throughout the whole world, and it proclaims the forgiveness of sins, the mercy of God, the grace of our Savior for those who know that they need a Savior. For those who know that they are sinful and in desperate need of salvation, Jesus Christ prepares us, and he presents to us, and he gives freely to us all things. Everything that is required for your salvation, he provides for you because you cannot provide it for yourself. You are dead in your sins and trespasses. You have nothing to bring to the table that is of any value to God. I tell you this almost every week. We bring a mess to the party. We don't bring any tasty hors d'oeuvres or any delicious tea like we'll have this afternoon or after church. But instead, all we bring is death and sinfulness. And our Savior gives life, and life abundantly. Come follow me. Come on a quest. And we will save the world. This whole fishing thing shows how the Lord works. No fish wakes up in the morning and says, "Today I'm going to be caught in a net and die." So it is with the gospel. God's word is cast into our hearts and pulls us up, even in spite of ourselves. And God takes us and he kills us. What? That sounds horrible, Pastor. Yes, he does. He kills us as he lays us to bath in the waters of baptism. Lays us to death, rather. Did I say bath? Lays us to death in the waters of baptism. And he raises us to eternal life. We bring nothing to the whole equation. We baptize babies to attest to this. Babies have no will. They come against their will sometimes. And we put water on their heads, and they kick, and they scream, and they pee their pants, and they carry on, and God saves them, even as he has saved us, apart from our works, efforts, merits, assent, apart from our intelligence. We're told in the scriptures, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." And so Jesus chooses the whole world, that all should believe. And yet, sadly, many reject the gift. The hands and the mouths of pastors are simply used in baptism by God. So it is in the preaching of the word and the consecration of the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's Supper, it's not my supper. It's the Lord's forgiveness, it's not my forgiveness. It's the Lord's baptism, not my baptism. How humble the tool when praised for the work of the Master. He is the one who does all the verbs of your salvation. You do not, nor do I. Andrew, Peter, James, and John sit under their professor, the Savior, and Jesus goes about his work. And they learned from sitting at his feet. And he went through Galilee teaching and preaching and healing, for this is what Christ does. Even as he does it in our midst today. We who gather in this house of God, declaring that we deserve hell and damnation, declaring that we are sinful in thought, word, and deed, we declare the truth in these things, and then you hear the greater truth, those words of absolution, the forgiveness of sins, the mercy of your Savior. Our sins seem so infinite. No one can know the error of his ways or the depths thereof. But our Savior knows. And his grace is not just sufficient. His mercy is not just enough to get you into the kingdom. It's super abundant, overflowing. It's more than you could ever dream. For in the waters of baptism, you were made saints. Every sin you've committed, every sin you will commit, have been answered for in Christ Jesus, and yet he keeps pouring more on you. Come to my table, eat and drink of my flesh and blood for the forgiveness of my sins, of your sins rather. More forgiveness. Hear the words of absolution. Hear the words of the gospel proclaimed to you. More forgiveness. More and more and more. Your God's mercy is abundant and overflowing beyond all imagination, beyond anything that you could ever dream of. His mercy and grace is greater than all the sins of the whole world. Every sin ever committed, it's greater than all of them. As we gather around the Word of God and His holy things, He's here among us. His salvation is won from the cross. And it is given to you in measure that you will never understand. He teaches us as we gather to hear his word. He heals us of every disease, and he grants us complete healing of soul and that eternal, perfect, heavenly body. Oh, we might suffer for a time here on earth, but the day will come where for eternity you will live in perfect health. Sometimes he even sees fit to heal our bodies of disease here on earth. As he gives us the vocations in which we work, he gives us the vocations of others, doctors and nurses, medical companies, pharmaceutical companies, companies that provide us apparatuses and other things to deal with our illness. These are all blessings from God, for he has created all these things. Dear family in Christ, we have been called by our Savior, and he is here among us, doing what he does best, forgiving our sins. He has reconciled you and me and a lost and dark world to himself. For probably the last year or more, I keep telling you how I can't stand watching the news anymore. I just want to throw myself off the roof every time I watch the news. What is wrong with everyone these days? Maybe I'm getting older. I don't know. It seems we are going deeper into a dark hole, and stupid is the new intelligence. Yet our Savior is redeeming it all. Even as we don't understand, he does it. We gather here so that the truth, the light of our God, might shine on us, that he would cast us away from our sin, even as he casts our sin away from us, as far as the east is from the west, never to remember it again. In this season of Epiphany, the light of that star which beckoned the wise men to the Christ child has beamed its revealing light of revelation on us. And we see Jesus for who he is. Not a vengeful and angry God who says, you better clean up your act or else. Not a vengeful and angry God that says, I died only for those who try hard enough or those who are righteous enough. But instead, a merciful and gracious Savior who came for sinners. For he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus did not come for those who are self-righteous, but for those who desperately need his righteousness, because we don't have any of our own. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace which passes all understanding keep and guard your hearts and minds to life everlasting through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.